Welcome back to another edition of Gamer Discretion Advised. This is our returning segment with my brother. We've been calling it Forrest's Fluffy Funhouse. How are you, Forrest?
I am here, Josh.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Physically, mentally, metaphysically?
One of those, at least.
Metamentally? Is that even a thing?
It is now.
It is now. That's official, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to... That's it. That was a great show.
Yeah, it was. Scratch that and remember to stay metaphysical. Or metamental, whatever the hell we just said.
Thanks for coming. So we were just fucking around before we recorded, and we decided that we are going to focus on favorite video game characters today.
Yes, we have hella lists here. We got all kinds of shit going on.
I've got
on.
At least three people wrote down.
At least, at minimum. But I do have to give a shout out to my boy, Sinistar, because he is the best video game character that there ever was and will be.
Sinistar, if you're listening. He loves you. I don't have a shout out for any villains. I don't know. Maybe Ganon?
He exists.
What up, Ganon?
What be going?
What's going on, man? I mean, it's like you always have the Triforce of Power, but you always get your ass kicked by Wisdom. What's going on?
Yeah, you're up against a fucking 13-year-old kid with a sword, and he just beats your ass
and
every
time. You literally have the physical embodiment of power in your hand.
Yes.
Whatever. Okay.
Some people are incompetent, like Bowser. I mean, it happens.
Dude, I fucking love Bowser from Yoshi's Island.
Baby Bowser?
As the final... Yeah, as a baby Bowser.
Yeah.
Last time I played that was probably... Of course, it was on the SNES, and it was... 1994?
Yeah, it was like 93 or something.
I haven't played it since then, but I just remember beating that game and loving that final boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But this isn't about bosses. That was the last one, Josh. So
was it?
Probably. I don't know.
On Frolicking with Forrest?
Yes. Okay, well, do you want to get things started here? Do you want me
knock
to?
Knock it out, dude.
No, you knock it out.
I will.
So I'm going to start with probably... Shut up. My favorite... video game character of all time, like just end all be all character, and that's the boss from Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater.
Word.
Not Big Boss, the boss. Now, spoilers inbound, whatever. Game's old as molasses, but the boss is the mentor to Big Boss, and it is her last mission to go down as America's worst villain of the time. Her final mission is to be the bad guy, and no one will ever remember her name. That is just metal as fuck, and I love that.
Well, that's a true patriot.
Yeah, her gun's even called the Patriot.
Yes. It's just the fact that she's willing to go down as a villain for all time for her country.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not America's worthy of such a sacrifice is a different discussion.
That's a Batman discussion. But yes, no, I absolutely think, in all seriousness, the boss is probably the most interesting layered video game character I've ever known. Anyway,
she's kick-ass. Well, I mean, and then when you get into the lore of Metal Gear, she's the inventor of CQC, the close quarters combat, hand to hand.
Yes,
that's not real. That's just the in-game lore.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, to think that she said, even isn't it? Because, all right, I haven't played that since the early 2000s. That's Snake Eater, right? Part 3?
Yeah, 2005, yeah.
When you finally fight her as the final boss, if you try to kick her ass hand-to-hand, she lays you on your ass.
Yes.
You have to shoot her.
You have a chance of fighting her CQC, but in all honesty, unless you know what you're doing, she will dismantle your gun, throw it several different ways, just knock you the fuck down.
She's a badass boss.
She is awesome.
I mean, she's got the cool name. Now. That one takes place in the 60s, but her story takes place all the way in World War II.
Yeah, around the 40s, yeah. As I recall, they were in, her and her squad, the Cobras, I think, something like that.
I can't remember.
They were in the Battle of Normandy, and that's where they became, like, the big superheroes of the time. That's how they became...
Legends, pretty
much. Yeah, legendary, in that one big battle. And each of them have their own superpower and their own name attached to them, signifying the emotion they feel in battle. And hers is the joy.
Oh,
I love that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and she...
If I did, I'd forgotten it.
She's the mother of another very famous, very popular character, Ocelot, Revolver Ocelot.
Now, I always get confused because sometimes it seems like, depending on the fucking story, Revolver Ocelot is either a good guy or a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. I've always thought of him as the ultimate gray character. He does what he thinks is best, whether it's good or bad.
Well, in Metal Gear... Fuck, what was the one with Raiden?
Two.
It was, but...
Metal Gear Solid 2, let me rephrase that.
Okay, so I was still on active duty at the time, and I pre-ordered Metal Gear Solid 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I went... I was at Fort Lewis, Washington, so I went to the... It was about 5 or 6 o'clock. We got dismissed for the weekend. So I drove up to the Tacoma Mall. I picked up my copy, got home, or got back to the barracks, and I played that fucking game all fucking weekend. So I started playing it Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and I woke up Monday morning about 2 a.m. with the final boss kicking my ass.
Yeah, the president.
Yeah.
Got your ass kicked by the president and his Doc Ock arms.
I guess I had been fighting him and fell asleep because I had played all fucking weekend. I mean, that game was highly addictive. It was amazing. It was really good. So I kind of lost train of thought. I just wanted to share that memory.
No, it's good. Well, Raiden's not that great of a character anyway. Fight me, whoever likes Raiden.
Was it Revengeance?
He got popular as a big cyborg in Part 4.
Right.
But in Revengeance, he got his time to shine.
4 is Guns of the Patriots, right?
Something like that.
I never played that one.
Yeah, Part 2 is Sons of the Patriots, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And 3, Snake Eater.
Kojima's ridiculous that way.
Well,
sometimes.
There's about fucking... I'm exaggerating, but there's about 60 fucking games. And mm-hmm. I mean, and that includes handhelds. Like DS and... is there any on the PS Vita?
The PSP. That was
the PSP.
Peace Walker.
Yes. Yeah. Peace Walker was cool. I didn't play it, but I watched gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And Forrest and I talk about this a lot, but the better flushed out a game's history and lore is, for us at least, the immersion is much better.
Yes.
Basically, in Peace Walker, they made a new Metal Gear. Metal Gears were basically, just to dumb it down for you, bipedal tanks meant to deliver nukes at close range. Mm-hmm. That way the enemy wouldn't have time to intercept them.
Which sounds boring on paper, but if you actually look at one and fight one, they are armed to the teeth. They're war machines, but their primary mm-hmm. function is firing nukes.
Right. Metal Gear Rex was the one from Metal Gear Solid. And the first time I saw that, I about shit my pants because it was so fucking cool.
When I saw Ray for the first time in
Ray's
Part 2,
yeah.
I thought that it was just like, oh, okay, so it's a Metal Gear that's going to go underwater and fire nukes. No, Ray is a Metal Gear meant to kill Metal Gears.
Yeah.
That is badass.
Yeah.
Can't really say it's a character, but I loved Ray. The boss fight with Ray is not very fun, though. Do you remember it at all?
Yeah, you got the rocket launcher, and they keep Ocelots piloting one or whatever, and they just keep sending Rays
at
you.
They just keep spawning Rays, and I'm like, come on now.
How many did they fucking build? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they send between like 16 and 20 at you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also silly too because you're using a Stinger rocket launcher and it seems to take care of them no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Just take out their joints. No problem.
That's right. Yeah, I see. As much as I played that game, I don't remember a lot because I haven't played it or even thought of it.
I only beat it recently the first time last year, I think.
I wanted to go back to Peace Walker real quick. So they made a Metal Gear... And the AI is based on the boss.
Yeah, I think somehow they downloaded her, Emmett, what's his name?
Otacon. I don't
remember. Otacon's father. He did it. He put it into Metal Gear Zeke, which is this big spider-looking thing with a big orb for a head, as I recall. And I think, if I remember right, its sole purpose was to finish the boss's mission, which was... basically the defense of America at all costs.
Okay.
And that, I think, sent it into like a spiral of madness. I can't remember quite who built it, though. I remember it was Emmett's father, but I can't remember who ordered him to build it. I don't think it was Snake.
I gotcha. Either way, that's a cool story. It basically went fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, well, you could maybe you could say it went self-aware. Because... I think at the end of the game, it walks off into the ocean to kill itself.
I believe it does kill itself, yeah.
It realizes that it's not the real boss, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh shit, I'm fucking shit up worse, so it just kills itself. Honestly, I mean, we can't do it any justice just talking shit about it.
Yeah, because first off, we've never played it, but if this sounds interesting to you, then we highly recommend you go look it up.
Yeah, we may have given the ending away, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's Metal Gear. You're going to get your content.
If you listen to this, if you listen to our podcast at all, you should know that I don't do spoiler warnings because I'm an idiot. And I spoil everything on this podcast. So from now on, if there's any game ever in the future you want to play, don't listen to us because I'll ruin it for you. A thousand apologies.
Han Solo dies.
Can we tell that story?
Yeah,
should we?
We can. Go ahead. So we're screwing around playing GTA 5 one day online. We haven't played in forever. And we're playing it online and people are talking in the background. And we don't realize
No one was talking in the background.
Oh, it was just you and me, right?
We were in the open game chat.
Yes.
And I didn't... Normally, I'm in a private party when I play, because I'm playing with Mark or sometimes even Forrest or whatever. So, we're just shooting the shit because we had just seen Star Wars. And I made a comment about Kylo Ren catching that blaster bolt from Poe Dameron.
That was cool.
And we're talking about how awesome it is. And then a guy comes on the game chat and he goes, "Wait, what?" And then Forrest looks at me. And I can see the fire in his eyes. And he goes, "Han Solo dies." And this guy out of the game chat goes, "What the fuck?" I screams it. So Forrest immediately just turns
off the damn
console.
He just
unplugs it. He just unplugs it from the wall. And we're like, that did not just happen. I was like, you just ruined that guy's day. That guy is, he's not going to want to see Star Wars. If he knows who was talking, I'm surprised I never... If he knew it was me, because I think you were on my profile, but it doesn't matter.
We never received death threats that we know
of. That's just a good fucking story, because that's just what we do. We ruin people's days.
We are happy to do that, and we're happy to ruin yours, too. My address is 308 Malibu. Anywho. I promise we're recording this like a week after the last one. So,
Jarvis, why are you letting people in here? I threatened a terrorist. We're just letting anybody in?
But going back a little bit, I think what you were saying is a good segue, how you and I love deep interconnected stories and lore, and I think that's a perfect segue into our love of Metroid. Speaking of favorite video game characters, you had Samus and Ridley and their whole relationship.
Right. They have a long and sordid history.
Yes. And I think Metroid Prime 2, they're the same thing, don't lie to me. Metroid Prime 2 Echoes has my favorite world building of probably any game outside of like Shadow of the Colossus, because you're exploring an entire race, the Luminoth. You're exploring their home world that has almost no interference from the Chozo, which is the race that you should be familiar with if you play Metroid. Yeah,
that's gotcha.
Metal Gear again. But, yeah, and... I mean, Ridley's not even really in the second one, but who cares? Because the first one's so good, because their relationship is
Echoes
just so
is
good.
Amazing, though. Echoes is amazing. I love that one. I had them all for the GameCube. Dark Samus.
Yeah.
You know, she's in the first one. Not a main character, but she's like a side character. But she's the main villain in the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that one for the Wii, because I don't think it was on the GameCube.
Yeah, it was just for the Wii.
Right.
Then they released it as a big trilogy pack.
I let Kevin borrow that, like, fucking forever ago.
You went to college with him?
No, he's from here.
Oh.
He's one of our friends. Used to hang out with him.
I thought you were talking about Kevin from college who liked his butter noodles a lot.
No, that was Devin.
Well, God damn it, Josh, quit having so many stories to tell.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
I am.
Do you know the backstory between Samus and Ridley, at least as far as the comics go?
Comic-wise, no.
Okay. Long story short, because it is long. Basically, Samus was like a three-year-old on this big outpost.
Right.
And the space pirates attack. And Ridley attacks, and her mother jumps in the way of Ridley's fire blast, which was headed right for fucking Samus.
Okay.
So she watches her mother die, and her father gets killed and all this nonsense, and the Chozo end up saving her. But over time, she grows to just... Her rivalry grows with Ridley, and I'm not even sure if Ridley realizes who he's fighting all these times.
That's a cool fucking idea. That he may have no idea her past. He may not even... You would figure, you know, a creature like Ridley would have, like, an amazing sense of smell.
Uh-huh.
But she's always in her suit, so he may not be able to smell her.
I don't think he ever does fight her outside of her suit.
Right.
But yes, I love the idea that he might not even know who the hell he's fighting.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yes.
I mean,
see, that's what we love about good characters.
Movie sequels have been made with less.
Less care and attention. Yeah, like Force Awakens. But, no. Fuck. But, yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to those two at the very least. So,
I'm still kind of dumbfounded on that thought. That's pretty amazing. Because
it's almost profound.
I can't say that there's not a comic or even a novelization somewhere that may get into that and we just don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But just thinking about that.
Metroid is like Star Wars. It has a massive expanded universe that's probably no longer relevant. But the fact that it does have such a big universe means that we could read wiki pages upon wiki pages and still probably not know everything.
Well, yeah, there's always that one person that knows just a bit more.
No, nobody knows more than me.
And they don't have the internet, so they can't update the wiki to fix it themselves.
You trying to say something, Josh?
No, but I mean, you know, Samus is fucking cool. So she gets her suit from the Chozo. They're like a alien bird race.
Yeah.
And they're ancient as fuck. I don't know how old they are, but...
They're old.
They put humanity with their age to shame.
Yeah. I think they mention that they are the first known species of the galaxy. Right. Like, nope, they've never found anybody, maybe not as old, but at least as intelligent as they are. Although the Lubinoth do seem to come close.
Yeah.
I like the Chozo because of the idea that... You know how in every Metroid game you find Chozo power-ups?
Right.
No matter what? That's because the Chozo have visited every damn planet.
That's fucking cool.
That's why you always find Samus always loses her powers in the beginning.
Right. Well, or, I mean, you have to set up the game.
Yeah, that's
gameplay talking. That sets up the story, yeah.
But the fact that the Chozo are that old, that they've explored this many planets and left relics behind and temples.
Right.
That just goes to show just how old they really are.
Before I really knew what speedrunning was, Andy, when we were in the barracks, he would show me how fast he could fucking tear through
Super Metroid.
And then his eldest son can tear through it just about as fast, if not faster.
I'd like to see that, actually.
It's pretty fucking amazing. I mean, just because speedrunning may have existed, but the internet was still... For the average person like me, the internet was still kind of like this thing you just got on every once in a while. Now we use it non-fucking-stop.
Yeah.
I mean, just the other day, my fucking internet went out, and I paced the fucking house
yeah.
for like 2 hours. You know, I'm like, should I do laundry? let me call him again real quick. Maybe it's almost fixed, you know? Okay, all right, let's, okay, I could do dishes, maybe? Trayton, are you hungry? Can you get Daddy's phone? Can you have the phone? I need to call the internet company real quick. I was completely lost.
Yep.
I'm sure if it had been out all night, I'd eventually worked out of it, but I was in major withdrawals.
But, well, it's so easy. I mean, right now, you and I are using a computer. We both have our phones out. It's nonstop.
I understand. Yep.
It is a necessity now, but...
Whatever. I always make the joke, too. I say, I hold up my cell phone to somebody, even my son. I'm like, you have in your hand access to literally the entire culmination of human knowledge. What do you want to do? Let's watch meme videos, my boy.
Entertainment rules all.
You could literally, with enough time, teach yourself quantum physics on your phone. And instead, I'd rather look at cat videos.
Cats are fucking adorable.
I don't know where I heard it, so I can't back it up or prove it or link it to our social media, whatever. But apparently, some scientist somewhere made a computer... And they modeled it after the human brain and gave it a rudimentary...
I believe that.
AI. This is before AI got real popular. And then they gave it access to the internet. And it spent most of its time watching cat videos.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Was that the one that went a little bit self-aware and started to develop its own language that we couldn't
trace? No. That was just within the past couple years.
Oh, no shit.
I think that was either Google or Facebook AI.
I think that was... Oh, damn it.
It started making its own language because it was... The language it had decided upon was more efficient than the English language. I mean, which funny. is I understand that.
Uh-huh.
I don't speak other languages, but I'm probably pretty sure there's a lot better languages out there. I mean, at least to get ideas across.
I don't think any language is better than American.
Word?
America.
Bad English.
You're bad English. Speaking of terrible AIs.
Yeah, we got way off topic.
I'm going to skip down my list a little bit, but one that I wanted to give us a bit of attention to is Fulgore from Killer Instinct, who, yeah, we're going to be talking about Killer Instinct every time I'm on. Just don't fight it. Just accept it. It's happening.
King Combo!
Fulgore is a 8-foot-tall robot with cyber laser hands a ponytail. He has a ponytail.
He's 7'11". Thank you very much.
7'11¼". Thank you very much.
Oh, shit. You've been on the wiki, haven't you?
Gotta get I wrote the wiki, bitch. But yes, Fulgore is cool for a lot of reasons. One, I love his combos. That's another thing you don't really think about when thinking of favorite video game characters is gameplay. It's not just how cool they look. Though Fulgore looks really cool, especially with that stylish ponytail. It's how do they match your personality, especially in fighting games, because fighting games have just people. That's it. You don't have big levels to explore. There's no puzzles to solve. It's just one person against another. So they have to look cool, they have to have a cool, relatable backstory, and they have to play cool. And I just love the way Fulgore plays. His backstory, in my opinion, is a little bit lame. Basically, he's a Native American, went into another Killer Instinct tournament, lost or beat everybody or something, I don't remember. And then they're like, he fights good enough. Let's put his brain into a robot. Now it's a robot, and it's almost never relevant.
But if it's got a human brain, that would make it a cyborg. Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
This podcast is over.
Throw the mic down.
But, yeah, like I said, I love his gameplay. And Josh can tell you, in the new Killer Instinct, I can beat so much ass with Fulgore. The only thing I can't stand up against is our cousin Jeffrey's saber wolf, which is a goddamn ankle-biting chihuahua. That thing bites my ankles.
Now, that's
so
like
much.
The ghost fighters or the programmed...
Yeah, that's what's cool about the new Killer Instinct is every match you do, you can program an AI to follow what you do. So you can even fight your own AI, and it will fight exactly like you fight, except my Fulgore, which uses an attack that I never use for some reason.
So it must not be completely fleshed out then?
Either that, or I'm just a very inconsistent fighter.
But wouldn't you want that? I mean, because you don't want to be predictable.
I'm very predictable. I fight my own shadow so many times. I'm very rushed down. Don't fight me. Come at me, bro.
Well, I don't know about the... I've tried playing the new. I mean, number one, even when you're easy on me, you kind of kick my ass.
Well, that's because you suck.
True. Now, the one for Super Nintendo, man, it was... For me, it was either TJ Combo or Glacius. I have to pick a favorite, it's TJ Combo. TJ's probably my favorite. I love Glacius. I love his little puddle uppercut.
When it works.
When it works.
We have great difficulties getting it to work
anymore. Well, I've noticed that my fucking Elite controller... Half the buttons kind of work a bit funky. It's been dropped about 1,000 fuck. I have dropped my $150 controller more times than I have ever dropped a freaking $60 run-of-the-mill Xbox controller.
Well, it's bound to happen when you never put the fucking thing down, Josh.
I'm hardly on my Xbox anymore.
Don't lie to me.
No, it's 9 times out of 10, like on the weekends or whatever. Trayton will fall asleep on the couch.
Yep.
And then I wake up and it's on the floor in pieces and I have to reassemble it. So that's why I can't wait for the new one when it comes out. Yep. The Elite 2. Oh, I want one so bad. Yeah, I can't wait for that controller. It's going to be fucking awesome. But, yeah.
I've always liked Glacius a bit more than in the original Killer Instinct.
One's cool. The new Glacius. Oh. He is a freaking... He's not a tank, but he's a distance player.
He's I used to be a fighting game aficionado. What the hell is it called?
That's a big word.
Zoner. He's his own zoner. Yeah, all his moves hit you from a range. He's a sniper, basically. And it is so much fun to screw with people. They try to get up close to you, because Glacius doesn't move very fast. He walks at a very slow pace. But if anybody tries to get up close to you, all you gotta do is just poke him once, and then just use a big combo, and immediately they're on the other side of the screen, and they can't do a goddamn thing about it.
And then you can just stomp on the ground and make icicles come out of the ground.
Make ice sculptures of yourself pop out and punch them.
Yep. Just, and you throw those, you can throw those, like, ice balls in the sky.
Yeah,
and
like they just, big ice spike balls.
I know they're his projectile, but they're really slow moving.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can change what speed they move.
Oh.
Yeah, like heavy.
Once again, I hardly play the new one. I'm just not any good at it. I've never really been good at fighting games anyway.
No, you haven't.
Whatever. I used to keep a Killer Instinct pocket combo guide in my pocket.
That's a special kind of nerd right there.
Yes, it was about wallet width, but it was probably about 8 or 12 inches tall. So it was like this big giant, but it was thin enough so you could put it in your back pocket.
Uh-huh.
It was meant for arcade players.
Gotcha.
But the same comp, and that's
I thought
where,
you meant that you just made one yourself.
No. It was probably like a Prima guide, gotcha. Unofficial, but I can't remember who made it. But anyway.
Did you bust it out at school, and were you liked by all the cool kids, get all the chicks because of it?
No.
That sweet Killer Instinct hat I still want.
But, I mean, we talked about it last time. People here in Fairfield used to challenge me, and I just...
Yes.
Same thing. I would just get like TJ Combo and pin him in the corner and just fucking mash buttons.
Combo was always mean. His flying knee kick. Or, I don't know if it's kick, but his flying knee.
Yeah.
I love that. That thing tears down Idol.
Yeah.
Once you get it to work.
And it's his combo breaker, I think, isn't it?
I think
the
so.
The flying knee. So anyway, and that was one of the things about Killer Instinct that it was always fucking badass was the combo breaker.
Well, yeah, because if you have this game built around giant combos, you know, scoring 20 or 30 hits. You have to have something to make it fair.
That guide I had a 80-hit idol combo.
So a regular idol combo.
And I could never get it to fucking work. It just, the timing has to be right.
Yes.
And also, just fucking exhausting trying to make an 80-hit combo. That, I mean, I'm sure that's like an ego booster, but at the same time, okay, so that's one health bar. Now you got to do it again.
Yep.
And then once again, if you're playing against somebody who knows what they're doing, he's just going to combo break you anyway.
Like Idol.
And you fuck Idol, dude.
Refer back to our last list to
but
hear
see,
about that Ramhorn motherfucker.
Just like we talked about, the thing about Idol, though, is he's so overpowered and he's so cheap that once you finally beat him, the adulation is maximum.
Yes.
And you get an endorphin high off that. You're like, I am the greatest. And then you look at your death count, and I think on Super Nintendo, it only counts to a maximum of 99. 'Cause
really?
It'll tell you in the stats.
Yes, I remember.
Yep, so you'll look at your final stats, like on 6 stars, you'll be like, I finally beat him. How many times did I die? And it says 99. You're like, well, I can be almost assured that it's a lot more than 99.
But then you look outside, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and the sun's come up, and you've grown a 5 o'clock shadow.
And you're like, shit, I have most definitely fought him all night.
Yes, the first time I ever beat Idol, that's what I did. I played Thunder over and over because Super NES AI is a bitch. And yes, I had 99. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I fought him exactly 99 times. And then you come over and you're like, no, it just goes up to 99. I'm like, God damn it.
Which is stupid because the creators of that fucking game knew.
You had to know.
They knew the monster they made. They knew it. They knew they had made Frankenstein with a club and cloven hoof feet that could regenerate his health.
I'm just gonna say it. I'm putting Idol on that list too of favorite video game characters because it's worth
it. Yeah, he definitely belongs on there. We talk about him. He's infamous amongst us. He's infamous. He's not.
Yeah, he's,
like a
he's
favorite,
our devil.
Right. He's the one that you fucking have nightmares about and can't sleep and dream about.
That's why I'm mad that they bastardized him in the new one. But whatever, I can get over that because the original's just too damn strong.
He's still cool in the new one because I watched you play him.
Yeah, but that's his, you watch me play his retro costume where it looks cool, he's got black skin, and he can shoot down meteors.
I've seen the new one.
I don't like it. He's a big tubby dude with his face cut in half. Ugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't, from the creative aspect of it, you can't just rehash your character over and over and over.
No, but
unless you're
you could
Samus,
rehash him at least once.
Unless you're Samus or Link.
Then
it doesn't matter.
We're talking to you, Nintendo.
Yeah, go ahead. Man, I'm sorry, I'll interrupt. Back in Street Fighter, the one I used the most, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, was DJ. I was almost always DJ.
You had him on your list, too. DJ, I always thought was interesting for a couple reasons. I can't remember the specifics, but he's only in a certain version of Street Fighter New Challengers. He's only in Street Fighter II, The New Challengers, which is probably the 58th edition of Street Fighter II.
That must be the one I had then. I didn't think it was The New Challengers.
He might be in a later version. I don't know.
Okay.
But he's in The New Challengers, and he comes from a guy who worked on the American version of Street Fighter II. And he's also the guy that made Weapon Lords, if you remember that game.
Vaguely.
And he worked on the new Killer Instinct as well. His name is DJ James, something along those lines. I can't quite remember, but I do remember that he is a really cool dude and that he has come up with a lot of cool things. Not to move it back, but in Weapon Lords, there's a character, I can't quite remember his name, but he's like this thievy rogue type character, uses a sword and shield. His shield is alive, and that was supposed to be a hint to the second game that was going to come out, where the thing on his shield would end up being the villain.
Okay.
They did the same goddamn thing in Killer Instinct 2013. Spinal's shield is alive with a Cthulhu-like face. And I think that was supposed to reference a foretelling of Gargus.
I see.
Or I'm just reading too much into it because I like to do that.
You may be. Or maybe. Or you may be not.
I may not be.
It doesn't matter. I mean, and since I was never really that great at fighting games, the cool characters always had the hard moves to pull off.
Spinal.
So, Fei Lung.
Yes, I always liked him.
He looks like Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. But that's who he was modeled off of. And he had this rising spin kick that caught your enemies on fire.
Yes.
Dude, when it comes to old fighting games, the fire in Street Fighter just looked the best of all of them.
It really does.
It was the fire. Dalzim could spit it.
Mm-hmm.
Fei Lung's that rising kick, I forget what it's called. And if you didn't block it and you got hit, you caught fire.
Yeah, I think
I just loved the fucking fire.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Sprite work is just gorgeous in general. It really is. And I'm going to throw a mention to Cammy for that sweet, sweet ass.
Pervert.
Yeah, I am. Staying on the topic of fighting games, though, you were talking about Glacius. Speaking of other ice users, I'm going to put Sub-Zero on that list. Everybody loves Scorpion because he's all angsty and he loves his Nickelback and his fucking Creed. And he's like, I live in hell all the time. Yeah, you're real fucking cool, Scorpion. How about Sub-Zero, the guy who watched you murdered his brother and is like, I'm gonna fuck that dude up.
Okay, I'm gonna walk back a little bit.
You should moonwalk backwards.
I can't. Creed's second album was not that bad. Human Clay.
That was their second album? I thought that was their only album.
No, that was their second album.
Oh, I thought they just released Human Clay, and then the best of hits was just Human Clay all over again.
No.
Oh. Shows how much I care.
What if? All right, I'm done.
You're good. I mean, literally all the songs I know from Creed came from that album, so.
Well, because your dad had that one. That summer that I was beating Zelda over and over and over and over.
Yes.
That was usually in the CD player, Human Clay. Mark let me borrow his Dreamcast.
I remember that. That's where I learned about Sonic Adventure.
Right. One of the games that I borrowed from him was Suzuki Team Racing. It was a motorcycle racing game. And I would put in the Mission Impossible 2 soundtrack. And I would put Metallica's I Disappear on repeat.
That
song is excellent for racing. Especially fucking motorcycles. I used to love that. What was the... that was pretty much it.
Carrier. Oh,
and then when I would come home from school sometimes and beat Mario 3, I would put in Metallica's Garage Inc. Disc 1.
Nice.
It's got Astronomy and Whiskey in the Jar and all, you know, and Turn the Page. I don't know. It just... There's certain albums that I would listen... when I was over at... When I would go to Aaron's, and I would hog his Super Nintendo, and I would play F-Zero,
yes,
or Mario Kart, I would either at that time it was still cassettes. I either had Metallica's Load,
mm-hmm,
or Aerosmith's Nine Lives.
You were telling me about Nine Lives, and I'm not especially a big fan of the album. I think there's like two songs I like on it, but you were telling me how much you absolutely loved that album. You got so excited when we found it at Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
When I wrecked my truck, I was listening. I had worked like 3 days in a row. Mm-hmm. I was working double shifts. And then when I got home, I was playing The Darkness on Xbox.
Oh, yeah. That was a good game.
So I didn't sleep for like 3 fucking days. Mm-hmm. And then on the way home, I fell asleep. I was only about 10 miles from home when I finally passed out.
That sucks.
And I was listening to that album.
It was for the best. Your little lowrider was garbage.
It was a badass S10. Anyway, when I realized what had happened, because most of the wreck is kind of a blur. I woke up during the accident. But, I mean, I was not hurt in any way at all because I ragdolled. I was passed out. Uh-huh. I was buckled in. I woke up with the truck sitting on its side trying to run. And I reached up and turned the key off, and I was like, shit, turn it off. I already knew the truck was totaled. I could tell because it was on its side. But I looked over against the window, and my 9 Live CD was broken. So I crashed so fucking hard while unconscious that it ejected my favorite CD out of the CD player.
Just to tell you that you had 8 lives left.
I never thought about that. Well, all the close calls I've had since then, I'm probably down about 2, I'm going to be honest.
You want to test it?
No. No, I do not. Sorry, I got off sidetrack. I do that too. I get on a little topic and I want to get it all out of me because it builds up.
I'm glad that you mentioned that though, because I didn't even put him on this list, but I would love to mention Sweet Tooth, Needles Kane from Twisted Metal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite character from Twisted Metal is easily Dollface, but she's in like 2 games, maybe 3. Sweet Tooth, Needles Kane, I'm going to call him Sweet Tooth because it's easier.
That's fine.
Sweet Tooth is easily the darkest and most demented character in a racing game ever, and I love every second of it. If you don't know, he's a clown who drives an ice cream truck while his head's on fire. And he has different interpretations, but the best one is easily in Twisted Metal Black, where it's even implied that the entire game takes place in his demented mind.
That's cool.
I love Sweet Tooth.
I used to play Black on the PS2.
Yes.
Over at Ed's, we would take turns playing Twisted Metal 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking love that game.
Wasn't he an unlockable character in that? Like, you had to do a cheat code to get to him?
No. That was Minion. Minion drove an armored personnel carrier, an gotcha. APC. And his main weapon was 3 missiles with a freeze.
What a douche.
Oh, yeah. He was the boss in the first one.
Yes, I remember that.
And then he became an unlockable in part 2. And I think he's actually a sub-boss in part 2.
Halfway through, you
fight Minion.
People love Twisted Metal 2. I never actually got to play it.
It was pretty fucking... Part 3, the soundtrack was done by...
Rob Zombie. Yes.
And I just didn't like it. But once Black was the resurgence for me, and I was always Mr. Grimm.
Mr. Grimm is fantastic.
it's literally fucking death on a motorcycle.
Not in Twisted Metal Black. In Black, he's a guy who is in Vietnam, and he was forced to eat his comrade, who was already dying anyway, forced to eat him while he was stuck in a pit, you know, getting pissed and shit on, and he developed a taste for cannibalism, so he wears his compatriot's skull on his head at all times.
I guess I didn't get into the lore of Twisted Metal that much.
But yes, Dollface is cool. She's my favorite because she's... I mean, there's 2 goth chicks in the game, and she's the more interesting goth one. She's like if Pinhead had a daughter, Pinhead from Hellraiser. She wears a mask at all times, and the mask is sealed on with a key that's, like, incredibly hard to duplicate. So Calypso, the person who runs the Twisted Metal tournament, says, "Here, I'll give you this key if you compete in my race." And she's like, "All right, fuck it." Grabs a semi-truck, Darkside, which is the devil's fucking semi-truck, and is like, "Let's do this." I mean, she's kind of a soft-spoken, quiet, "Oh, it was all my fault." But by the end, she's like, "Oh, no."
Yeah, I vaguely remember Dollface.
She's my favorite by far.
My default player in part 2 was Thumper. He was the hot pink lowrider.
Yes, I remember Thumper.
And his special attack was a flamethrower that came out the front.
Okay.
And what I would do with him is I would try to T-bone enemies and pin them and then just hit that flamethrower. So,
very nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little dirty and cheap, but at the same time, it only comes out of the fucking front. What am I going to do?
And on top of that, it's Twisted Metal. You kind of have to be dirty and cheap.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a most games like that are about being a dick anyway.
Yeah, basically.
To a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Ed was always Shadow. It was like a hearse.
Yeah, she was the other goth chick in black.
Yeah, and it's special as she shot like a demon out that looked like a shadow.
That's cool.
And then you could watch it go along the ground, and once you hit the area you wanted, you hit the fire button, and then it would explode.
That's pretty sweet. I like that.
Yeah, so Ed was always Shadow.
When did you get Twisted Metal too?
Yeah, I was almost always Thumper. I hated Axel.
Axel was always kind of a... He looked different, but he's always goofy. So. Yeah.
He was a dude splayed out between two giant wheels.
Yeah, he didn't have his arms. I think it was something to do with his father doing it. Not quite sure. His story's kind of weird. But.
Lame or convoluted. I don't know.
In a game like that, you're not all going to have winners.
There was an F1 race car chick, and I can't remember her name. Anyway, I remember her ending, though, very vividly. She wanted to be the fastest race car driver.
Yes.
So Calypso, the devil, grants her wish, so she drives so fast that she travels back in time, and then a fucking dinosaur kills her. And then it cuts to the future in a museum, and it shows her petrified racing helmet in the museum.
I love Twisted Metal 2's endings, probably the best. I've seen them all. I looked up the compilation.
Yeah.
I think, like, they're stupid. Like, one of them is, hey, man, we want to fly. We want to learn to fly high, because they're, like, stoner from Woodstock. Right. And he's like, okay. And then, like, pushes them out a window or something.
I don't remember. Like, I don't remember all of them.
I'm just saying, that's about as low as it gets.
Calypso, I know he's supposed to be the devil, or deals with the devil.
Yeah, he just deals with him.
Or a demon or something like that. But he always reminds me of, like, the djinn.
From Wishmaster?
Yeah. You always get... You get your wish granted, but it's never... just given to you. There's always a price. There's always a cost.
And it's always black humor at its finest.
What was the one... The only... I'm going to be honest. I only remember one. And the dude wanted $1 million. You know, he's like, I want to be a millionaire. And he's like, you know, the genie's like, your wish is granted. And then it cuts to his cute old mother getting on an airplane. And they're like, would you like to buy the insurance? And she's like, oh, yes, yes, I would very much. And then as the plane takes off, it fucking explodes.
I love it.
So that's how he got his $1 million.
That's from Wishmaster?
Yeah, it's part one or part two. I can't remember.
I remember part three most vividly, and I just remember that its main character is some chick who's at a college or something, and her teacher's like, I want the two most beautiful women in the world. And he's like, okay. So then these two chicks come out. They start making out with him, and he's all into it, and then they just start tearing him apart. Like, okay, that's kind of a weird way to go.
Well,
with
he probably said, like, I want them to devour me up or something. So
I doubt Wishmaster 3 was that clever.
Right, probably not. Since you brought up Sub-Zero, and I talked about the last time too, Baraka was like my favorite.
Speaking of people tearing people up.
Yeah, for Mortal Kombat 2. Baraka. And I know he was in Trilogy 2, and he's been in other games, and he's had... Just like all the other characters, he's had countless redesigns and stuff, but just seeing him in part two and playing him, because he could, like, if he did a jump attack, he could kneel down and then his swords would come out, and he could do, like, a scissor and catch you in the air. And
that's the only way I could beat Kentaro, because Kentaro was too hard. First time I fought Kentaro on base difficulty took me 3 hours because of how that game operates.
Yeah.
But yes, Baraka is... You should see him in 11. I don't know if you've seen him yet.
No.
He looks perfect in Mortal Kombat 11. He looks just like he did in Mortal Kombat 2.
I'll look him up here when we're done.
He's a little bit buffer, but he's still kind of short, creepy-looking teeth and everything. Oh, I love it.
I think Raiden fights two or three of them in Mortal Kombat 2, the movie. Remember?
Raiden?
Yeah.
Raiden.
Oh, I said Raiden. I
was like, man.
I got all my universes mixed up, all right?
I want to watch Raiden fight Baraka.
If it's from Revengeance, I think I would know who would win.
Baraka?
No. No.
No. No, in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Raiden fights three reptiles. Liu Kang fights two or three Barakas. But every time one of them falls in the pit, it's just rains death over and over again. Because you'll notice he falls in the pit, conspicuously jumps into a purple ninja suit.
While falling.
And in the final battle of the movie, now we're on video game movies, but that's a topic for another time. At the final battle, Motaro and Jax are fighting, while Liu Kang and Shao Kahn are fighting. But halfway through, Shao Kahn, who's already taken his battle gear off, just looks at Mataro and screams, "Yes!" with his full fucking gear on, helmet and cape and everything. Like, okay, I'm glad you had time to put your shit back on just to yell at Mataro.
Who the fuck edited that movie?
A trash fire.
A dumpster fire.
You're a dumpster fire.
Man, and I know you agree with me on this one too. And I bought one very similar to it just because of it. But Leon in Resident Evil 4, his jacket, yes, at the beginning, it's tan leather with like the sheep, mm-hmm, with the wool liner.
Yes.
I fucking love those coats.
Yeah, you had it for the longest. Do you still have it?
That coat? No.
Ah, oh, damn. It was a fantastic
coat. I have a
coat.
Similar one that Chuck and Candace gave me.
Yeah.
In there, and I kind of like it. But being able to find one exactly like Leon's, mm-hmm, I don't think it exists.
Well, no, and now everybody wants to give you the Resident Evil 6 coat like it's better. It's inferior in every way. I remember just wanting to play Resident Evil 4 just for that coat, and after the first chapter was over, because you lose it at the very beginning of the game.
Right.
I'd restart the damn game.
Dude, fucking Resident Evil 4. Okay, so I bought it for GameCube when it came out. Played through it. You know, loved it. Played through it again. Played through it multiple times. Just like the rest of us, mm-hmm, I pretty much burned myself out on it. And then it came out for the 360 about 4 or 5 years ago.
Something like that, yeah.
And first fucking playthrough, I just started on hard and raped its fucking ass. I got all 1,000 achievement points in one playthrough, and I was done. And now, even right now, it's on Xbox One on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, that's an easy 1,000 achievement points.
I did it on PS4, and I could not be happier, because you would not believe the difference 60 frames a second makes for that game. Not all games, but that game in particular, it does wonders for that game.
That game had mainly the castle midway through the game.
The castle was just the... I wish that was its own separate game.
I was going to say that I fucking hate it.
It's the hardest bit, but it's the coolest looking by far.
I don't hate it, per se. There's one part when you're in the main halls, kind of near the end, and if you're not careful, guys keep coming up behind you. And there's a room off to the side that you can go into, and you can barricade yourself in. So you create a choke point, mm-hmm, for the guys coming in. But what was happening is guys on the second floor were coming through a secret hole in the floor and coming out another door. So the game wasn't spawning infinite enemies. It's just, uh-huh, there's a bunch of enemies you can't see on the second floor of this hallway. So what I would do is go into that room and barricade myself. The guys will come to you, and as long as you just take a little bit of extra time, you can kill them all as they come in and pretty much clear the whole hall.
I know the room you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the only part that I really hate. But once you know that trick,
mm-hmm,
it's not such a bad deal. There's a couple cheap spots where you, open a door and instantly arrows come flying at you.
The castle is the cheapest, yeah, part of the game by far.
But all in all, I don't hate it. Obviously, I've probably got fucking 500 hours into Resident Evil 4 yeah, over the period of fucking 10 years.
Yes. For me, it's between Resident Evil 4 and Halo 2 is the game I played the most in my entire life. Probably Resident Evil 4 is topping it now because I haven't had access to Halo 2 for a while. And talking about Leon as a character, I'm going to be a little controversial here. I don't get why he's so popular in that game. He looks cool, he does cool shit, but he says the stupidest shit.
Well, Resident Evil is not necessarily known for its great dialogue.
But people are like, oh, we love Leon because he's such a smartass. Yeah, but he sucks at it. And Krauser's even worse.
Krauser?
Everybody's like, Krauser's the coolest thing about Resident Evil 4. No, he's not. Shit, what the hell does he say when he first sees Leon? He's like, you may have prolonged your life, but it's not like you can escape your inevitable death, is it? Like, did you just write these lines just so you could say them if Leon managed to escape you?
I love the fact that you recalled that line.
Yeah, like word for word, too. I'm happy about that.
That was pretty amazing. Dude, the first time I played through on hardest difficulty, I got to Krauser. I instantly turned back into my 12-year-old self, and I wanted to destroy every fucking controller, piece of glass,
yeah,
dishware, house, life, soul. I wanted to break everything. I wanted to watch the world fucking burn because he was fucking impossible to beat. And it wasn't until years later that you told me, just use the knife on him. It, yes, fucks him up. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
Knife does 3 times damage on him or some shit.
So anyway, I had gone through And I went halfway back through the game and saved all my fucking Magnum ammo. And I struggled through that. And then when I finally got to him, I fucking raped his ass. You know, and that, once again, the adulation. I'm like, fuck you, Krauser!
Yes.
You know, kicked his ass.
I can't deny he is a great boss fight. He is just tension. Because the first half of the fight is just you playing cat and mouse with him. He'll show up randomly, throw grenades at you, snipe you from unknown vantage points.
Yeah.
And then when you get up there and he goes all tyrant on your ass, then it's like,
okay. Yeah, his arm turns into like a wing.
Yeah, like this big tyrant eagle wing. And
it can block all bullets.
Yes.
But his feet are... And Resident Evil 4 was pretty much the first one that was third person over the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a laser point sight, so you knew where you were aiming at for the most part. So when he came at you with his wing out, you could shoot his foot and stun him.
Yes.
But one bullet wouldn't do it. You had to make sure... I either used the Magnum or the shotgun, the Striker, which was the automatic.
Yeah, the one that had 100 rounds in it?
Yes.
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 The TMP was pretty good for it, too. The semi-auto.
I like the TMP.
Auto gun.
Yeah, the TMP was pretty good.
My favorite gun, at least by name, is the Broken Butterfly, which is the first Magnum you get.
Yep.
And you can find in a secret cove that you have to remember where it's at.
Yeah.
That's good level design, because it rewards you for remembering.
I think what really got me about 4 was all the treasures. All the little garnets.
Yes.
They didn't really give you that much money, but as long as you knew where they were all at, money doesn't become an issue. I know first playthrough, like any game, you don't know where stuff's at. You're trying to learn. You don't know your limits. Mm. Can I do this? Can I not? You know, it's almost like nowadays you have to become a speedrunner and look for exploits to make the game easier. Instead of playing it the way it's intended.
Which there are some good exploits for Resident Evil 4. And speaking of Resident Evil and speedrunning in general, I'm going to talk about Jill Valentine. Because she doesn't get as much love as the Leons and the Claires of anything today.
You, the master of lockpicking.
Me, the master of random miscellaneous characters. No, Jill Valentine has always been my favorite Resident Evil character. Top tier.
I liked her in the first one, for sure.
Yeah, she was modeled after Julia Voth. That is a gorgeous woman.
I didn't know that. Also, though, for the first one, she had... two extra inventory slots, right?
Yeah, she had two inventory slots. She moved a little faster.
And it was the same thing for Resident Evil 2, right? She carried two more inventories?
She wasn't in Resident Evil 2.
I'm sorry, I mean Claire Redfield. Claire.
No, they had equal inventory.
That's right, because later on you could find a pouch to carry two more items.
Yeah, we're going to have a separate video on Resident Evil 2, because that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, in the remake, you can find 8 of those pouches.
Quite a few. They increase it by like 2 at a time or something.
Until you play on the hardest difficulty. Then you can only get 1 or 2 of them. I mean, it's fine. Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. You tell Mr. X that. No, I've always liked Jill Valentine quite a bit, and I'm a little annoyed that she gets love from the fans. Like, yeah, she was one of the originals. She's one of the coolest, and she deserves all this attention and this and that. Last game she was in was Resident Evil Revelations in 2006, something like that. That'd be 2010.
But she got her own game in Resident Evil 3.
She's had her own game twice. But how many games has Chris had, and Leon had, and Claire had?
I don't know.
Claire got Resident Evil 2, Code Veronica. She got Resident Evil Revelations 2.
I played Code Veronica on the Dreamcast.
Yes.
And you played it on the PlayStation?
What haven't I played it on?
Right. No, I know.
I could never beat it under the time limit to get that rocket launcher, though. Or the linear launcher, whichever one you got.
I talked about that one time before. The only one I've ever beat the time on is this remake.
Remake is fantastic.
It's fucking gorgeous, too. It's fun.
Yes.
I think we talked about it on another podcast. But anyway, I went through a little bit because we were just discussing remakes and what was different. Because Mark had never really had time for Resident Evil games.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was always into them.
Part 2... the original part 2 had a lot of cool shit in it. There's a part in an alley where if you get to the corner and you aim at the camera correctly, you'll put bullet holes in the camera. Just little tidbits like that they added to part 2 just so people knew, like, yeah, we know how kind of ridiculous this is.
Yep, and I love it.
That could be another podcast on its own. Just the level development, the ability to create tension by restricting your sight.
I will forever defend fixed cameras.
If you've never played it, the game plays like you're watching it through security cameras.
Basically, yeah.
So when you're in a hallway, you can move your character around or in a room, but your viewpoint as the player never changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as hard to play as you think it would be.
No, it does take a little adjusting and getting used to, but once you do, you're going to shit your pants because that is some of the scariest, most tense gameplay. Because you can see behind your character sometimes. Like, you'll be in a hall, you'll see behind your character, and you'll see that it branches off, but you don't know what's on those branches. You don't know what's coming next.
Right. If I turn right, is there going to be a dog, a zombie? Is there going to be anything? There may not be.
In Resident Evil 2, it plays with that very well because there's a camera angle that watches a window with a door next to it very early in the game, right as soon as you enter the police station. And you go through the door, but as you go to go through it, you click on it, and you see something scrape past the window.
Yeah.
And you don't know what the hell that thing was.
It's a licker.
Well, yeah. Thanks for ruining my suspense and build up.
You're welcome.
Yes, I am. But, yes.
Love you.
No, you don't. Fuck you. But, yeah, I always thought that was genius. And that scared the hell out of me when we got it for GameCube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quizzed Josh about it. I'm like, oh, God, I want to play Resident Evil 2 so bad, this and that. You have a GameCube. Is it on GameCube? Oh, cool, I'm going to get it. And then while I was waiting for it to get here, I kept watching videos and eating Hot Pockets and watching videos and Hot Pockets. I have very
you have an addiction memories. You have an addiction.
Not anymore.
Speaking of that too, because that one I remember there was cheat codes we looked up, and the RE2 on the 64 had cheat codes. Since Xbox has kind of came out, normally when you play with cheat codes it disables achievements. So a lot of times, I just don't play with cheats. Even if the game has cheats, I don't play. And it's kind of nice because, like when I used to play Turok, it was almost always with cheats.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really beat the game on my own merit. Once I got the remakes,
mm-hmm.
I beat Part 1, Turok 1 on the hardest, and I've not beat Turok 2 yet. I got bored of it because I used to play Turok 2 so much with cheats.
Yep.
And then I was in the second level, and I completed every task, except I missed one of the Gates of the Damned or something,
mm-hmm.
and I just did not feel like going back to find it, and since then, I've not rebooted it back up.
It didn't have great level structure.
But it does have cheats, and you can play with the cheats, but it disables your achievements.
I've never cared too much for achievements in the first place.
Right, and that's fine. That's
I only ever got a higher gamer to score than you out of, like, happenstance. I could have given two shits about what achievements I actually got. I, you and I are a bit contentious on this. You don't think that cheats should disable achievements.
Well, I'm not really saying that. I mean, I may have said that in the past. My viewpoints change damn near minute to minute. I think it just depends on my mood.
Is DJ still your favorite Street Fighter character?
Yes. No, wait. Dalzim. No. No, wait.
You were going to say Baraka.
I was going to say Baraka. It's because I got it wrote down right there.
Hey, he's my favorite Street Fighter character.
Can we move into Mass Effect?
No.
Okay.
We have to get through the first-person shooter section.
Oh. Even though we have it early on our list, we haven't talked about it yet. Gideon Wyeth.
Yes.
From Advent Rising. I've talked about it on the podcast before. I love that game. So we talked about it. And I even just got curious and got on YouTube. And I found a whole series of videos of people talking about that game.
And it's funny because about 2 years ago, I looked up Advent Rising just for shits and giggles, found like nothing. I found some chick who streamed it and could not get the frame rate to stay consistent, so she just stopped playing.
Yeah, I could see that, especially if you're streaming, your audience cares about that. Mm-hmm. But if someone like me is watching it, I want to see the game.
Yes.
I don't care if the frame rate drops out. I used to play Turok on the 64. I know all about shitty frame rate. I found a few videos, and they reminded me of glitches that I didn't remember. Because I had looked at the game fondly in my memories, but in one of the levels, you're on a Seeker spaceship. The Seekers are the villains.
Yeah, they throw rocks.
They throw rocks. It crashes on a water planet, and it's sinking. You're in the ship, and it's full of water, mm-hmm. and it's going down or whatever. right near the end of the level, you have to get through a door. And the ship's kind of tilted sideways, so the level's askewed.
Oh, I remember this level. Yeah.
And the exit door has got a glitch, and you just can't get into it.
Yes.
You just can't get into it.
I remember that.
And you have to start the whole freaking level over. And if it glitches again, you have to do it over. And then sometimes you get lucky, and you can just jump at the door for about 10 minutes, and then it'll finally be like, oh, yeah, mission over. Congratulations.
That didn't happen for me.
So there was a lot of little glitches that the game had like that, mm-hmm. but...
I remember places, if you tried to explore, you'd actually just jump over an invisible barrier and fall through the earth.
Right. It wasn't fleshed out. Well, because, as usual, just like today, the publisher wanted to push the game out. They wanted it out. They yep. wanted it going. And I've discussed Advent Rising on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, this is where I look like a complete a-hole. Because I was on the podcast going, I have no idea where my copy's at. If I could, I would play it. It was literally right there.
Yeah, it was on your shelf.
It was right there on my shelf. I knew the case was there, but I didn't know where my copy was.
Uh-huh.
So I was cleaning that out, moving the bookcase. And there was, so I opened the case just for shits and giggles, and the game was fucking sitting in there. And I'm like, okay.
In his defense, I borrowed many of his games, and I did not always return the games with the cases.
Vice versa.
Yes. Yeah, you have to understand, though, even though they did push it out, this was one of those rare cases way back then where they wanted Advent Rising to be the next Halo. They wanted to push the story. So the gameplay was kind of second fiddle to the big story, which in fact was by Orson Scott Card, who, if you didn't know, wrote many, many famous science fiction books. And he may or may not have been a neo-Nazi, but that's for another video.
Yeah. Ender's Game.
Ender's Game. That's the big one.
That whole series.
Yes.
So he wrote that. Now that, I don't want to get too much into Advent because I've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
That game was just cool. The best way I could explain it to you for a modern audience is it played very similar to The Force Unleashed. He had yes. similar powers.
We were speaking about that, yeah.
Similar. He had lift, throw, mm-hmm. you could slow time.
Mm-hmm.
He did an Aeon Pulse where he jumps in the air and a shockwave comes off of you. I want to look into the history of this and see if anybody from The Force Unleashed worked on Advent Rising.
And now that you mention it...
Because the game was so similar.
He even had a bit of the same kind of force push that mm-hmm. is in The Force Unleashed. He had a very similar move where it was just a small cannonball that comes out rather than a huge wave.
Right.
And, yeah. It wasn't as rapid fire.
No, he did in Advent, he does an attack. I forget what it's called. But it was nothing short of a fucking Kamehameha.
Yes. God.
I think it was called the Aeon Blast or something.
Something like that. Why isn't this game backwards compatible? Get on that.
It's still on, was it you looked it up? Because it's on Steam.
It's on Steam?
You can download it off Steam. It's been on Steam since like 2009.
I have a computer. You have a computer. Let's do this.
What? I don't want to pay for it, though.
I'm going to tell you about this great game I love that I never want to play again because it costs money.
That I never want to play again. If I had the skill... That may be one of them games where I would go through it and patch it and fix it. Yeah. Maybe even run it through the Unreal 4 engine.
That'd be cool.
I don't have those skills.
I don't think anybody has those skills. Nobody can fix that broken of a game. We dare you.
Oh, I'm sure it could be fixed. Because there was lots of little glitches. A lot of things weren't fleshed out. This game was way fucking ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
You could dual wield any weapon in the game.
Yes, absolutely any weapon.
When he reloaded, all he did was spin the guns in his hand.
Yeah, like Arnie from T2.
Right. So reloading was fast.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what weapon you had, you could switch to first person.
I forgot about that
part. And the game could turn into a FPS, first person shooter. That was just amazing. On one of the videos I watched, because I had forgotten about this, the guy also did point out, though, that once you switch to first person... Each gun, it didn't change. Not like Halo. Every time you use a different gun, it fires differently. It carries itself differently. It has a different weight.
Yep.
Different ammo clip. It just... Every weapon had its own profile. So in this one, they had different ammo amounts.
Mm-hmm.
and they fired different ways, but the weight of the weapon never changed.
And you mentioned that now. Now I remember, because I remember being on the Seeker ship, dual wielding their giant Seeker machine guns.
Yeah.
And I remember noticing there was a bit of uncanny valley-ness to how quickly they just bounced around like they were pistols.
Right. But either way, the fact that you could fucking switch to first person, in my memory, the last game that really came out with that was on that GTA 5 when it came to the Xbox One. They added where you could switch to first person.
It was also in Star Wars Battlefront 2. I can't remember if it was in 1, but it was in Battlefront 2, and I loved using it liberally.
I don't know if it was the first game that did that.
Mm-hmm.
But in my memory, it was the first one I remember.
First one you played, anyway.
Right. Anyway, I look back at Advent Rising with just adulation.
All the rose-tinted glasses in the world.
Exactly. Even minus all the glitches. But the story was pretty fucking good. It was flushed out well. It is a bit cartoony-ish. I mean, Orson Scott Card wrote it, but he...
You talking in tone or in the art style?
No, like, there's a history. It just seems like it could have been flushed out more.
Well, like I said, they were pushing this story, and they wanted it out the door, so I guarantee they cut a lot of content.
It was going to be a trilogy.
Yes.
And, of course, because it didn't make any money, they canceled the trilogy. It also had a $1 million contest, which they canceled.
Yes.
And it also had a viral campaign where the original story started out in five or six comics. Before the game came out.
I remember the comics came out, yeah.
And the way they had it set up was decisions made in each game would affect the next one. What other franchise has something similar to that?
We can talk about it now. We can talk about Elite Dangerous. But yes, Mass Effect is one of our favorite collective series of all time because it is the only game that has such a conclusive impact. Even if the third one sucks. Yes.
That's debatable.
Another time. We love Mass Effect, and I think my personal favorite character from Mass Effect would probably be either Femship or Garrus. I could say Femship.
It's just silly. Because when I think of Shepard...
You think of the base model?
I don't even think of the base model. I almost see that character without form. When I think of Shepard, I think of myself in the armor.
I think you have an ego problem there, Josh.
Maybe a little bit. I can't argue.
No, but there's nothing wrong with that, because looking back at it, you always made characters that tried to look like you except for their ginormous deformed nose.
Not like me. I just thought I was trying to make the perfect man.
Yeah, so you. But I was in
the And making, I always failed.
I always made big, dumb, ginger-looking characters. Because you cannot make a good ginger Shepard if he's a dude. Although they did make Femship a ginger in Part 3, and I like that quite a bit.
Voiced by Jennifer Hale.
Yes. And yeah. People were like, why isn't she the main Shepard? She has been the best voice actor consistently in all these games. Why is she not the main?
The guy that does the male is fine. I do really enjoy the fact that you can be male or female. It doesn't matter.
And in such a big, expansive universe, the fact that it doesn't matter is a testament to BioWare's storytelling.
Yes. There's a handful of... I know one for sure in Part 3. I'm not sure which ones, but I know for a fact in Part 3, one of the guys that works in the underneath the ship, he's gay. And Shepard can talk to him. And as Femship and male ship, you can pursue gay relationships between characters.
Yeah, I remember that.
So you can be Femship and you can go after the guy Caden. Isn't that his name?
Caden Lenko.
Yeah. Or you can be male ship and go after Ashley and vice versa. And
what I love is that now not only can you do that, but as male ship, you can go after Caden too.
Right, yeah.
You can do it either way. Caden and Ashley are like the only two. It doesn't matter which you are. And I
right.
like that.
And the game doesn't lead you either way. The game doesn't say, we have a secret agenda. And it doesn't do that.
Yeah, no.
Through your dialogue options, you can start flirting with Caden. And sometimes I would be like, that's not the response I expected.
Yeah. Caden, I like your attitude.
Right.
Oh, you want to go to bed? It's nowhere near that blatant, we promise.
I just, not everyone will agree with me. I mean,
I agree with you, and that's what's important.
I just love the fact that you can do that all the times I played through, even as FemShep, I had no idea that you could hook up with Garrus. He's alien race, the Turians, and they've got, like, armored skin.
Yeah, he's this big, like, cat alien thing, and you can hook up with him?
Meow.
What? Yes. Why I love Garrus so much is because of Mass Effect 2. Like, in the first one, he's cool. You get to put him in his place a few times, but he's basically a cop. In Part 2, you don't really... Okay, back then, you didn't know he was going to even be in the game. So you're told, okay, go to this planet. There's this assassin, and he's hunting down criminals.
Archangel.
His name is Archangel. We need you to find him and recruit him, because Martin Sheen tells you to, and you don't disobey Martin Sheen.
Never.
Ever. So you go there, and... through a sequence of events, you find out it's Garrus. And when I found out that Archangel was Garrus, I lost my shit with joy.
That's great storytelling, because In the first one, he's... The whole Turian race, That's what I'm talking about, man. A game like that flushed out lore. Flushed out to the primordial origins of each race.
Yes.
You know, you can only go so far into it without convoluting the game. And a lot of this info is not given to you in-game. There's a codex that you get from just playing the game, from scanning things. And then there's lore books. And then, of course, you get on the internet. And there's wikis. And then YouTube videos where they'll be like, oh, cultural index for the Turians, you know. And people will go into the lore of the race. And there's so many races fleshed out.
Yes.
In Mass Effect.
The Krogans are probably the most interesting, in my opinion.
The Krogans, as far as I know... don't necessarily have a lifespan.
So they're like crocodiles? They're basically immortal unless something kills them?
Exactly. They're kind of a warrior race. They thrive on conflict for the most part. Mm-hmm. So no Krogan for like the past 2,000 years has died of natural causes.
Yeah, I remember there
so
was
so no one really knows. That's what I'm talking about. They took. It's just like Star Trek, You know, or even Star Wars, where a lot of these things are... Now... When you take in Star Trek or Star Wars, something like that, that franchise, that universe has existed for so long, it's had plenty of time to build up on it. But all of this fucking information, they wrote it in before they ever even wrote the story. So they planned on almost all this.
Yes.
I would love to be able to sit down and take the time. I just don't have the patience.
Exactly.
You know, I like to think of myself as kind of a patient person because I can put shit off for a long time.
That's procrastination.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
I am patient. You are less so.
I'll get back to you on that sometime. I'm not sure when. That whole universe just amazes me. And so just like Advent Rising, the choices you make through the series influence the rest of the game later.
Yes.
However, I feel I was cheated because those decisions, even though they do create situations in the sequels... It doesn't necessarily change anything about the main game.
Yeah, it doesn't have as much payoff as you think it should.
Right.
Like, you were talking about how, before we even started this, we were putting down characters. And you mentioned that maybe your favorite race is the Geth, which are these artificial intelligent life forms that became sentient after one of them got the nerve to ask, do we have a soul? And I love that. And the fact that, and just how they're creators, the... What are they called? Quarians? Yeah. And just how the Quarians reacted to that with extreme concern and violence, it made the Geth fight back. And I just love... There's a dynamic there because in the first game, you're fighting almost exclusively the Geth.
Right.
But you don't realize they're not really the bad guy. They're just... They're following their new god.
Right, a living starship named Sovereign.
Yes, who, God, he has the coolest voice.
Oh, man. There's a part in the game where you actually talk to him.
Yes.
And you have a one-on-one dialogue with Sovereign. And that dude is just evil incarnate.
I'm going to put that on my list of favorite characters. Sovereign is just amazing.
He's pretty fucking amazing. And the way he talks to you, he just looks at you like an ant. That's the way he discusses, you know. He even says, like, let me rephrase that. The character of Shepard gives them the name Reapers.
I see.
No. He didn't give them the name. I'm sorry. Who gives them the name?
I can't remember. I thought he called himself a Reaper.
What was the race before in the...
Leviathans.
No. In the previous cycle.
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Protheans?
Oh,
yes, the Protheans. I'm thinking
different things altogether. Right. Yes, the Protheans.
An ancient race called the Protheans gave them the name Reapers.
Yes. The Leviathans are what the Reapers are based on, basically.
Yeah, once again.
Deep lore, deep interconnected stuff.
We could have a 4-hour discussion just on the lore.
So let's do that. All so right, anyway.
Starting now.
But.
Yeah, but that whole race. So the Geth are following, because they're living machines.
Mm-hmm.
The Reapers are living machines, so the Geth are following them as gods. But you don't find out till part two, that's not even all the Geth.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the Geth are divided on whether or not they should follow the instructions of these living ships.
And the Geth do operate under a hive mind like the Borg from Star Trek. So to know that there are splinter groups even within a hive mind is kind of fascinating.
It's just fucking great storytelling.
It is. Legion is amazing.
The race that created them, they ran them off the planet, the Quarians.
Yes.
The Quarians have been living on spaceships for so long, for generations, that they have to live inside of spacesuits.
Yeah, they have to have biosuits that are, like, form-fitting because any exposure to any other atmosphere than their own home planets...
Well, we could just say they're prone to infections.
I was getting there.
Sorry.
You will be. And even when you do pursue the relationship with one of them, just before the main mission or whatever, to end all missions, she's like, okay, we can have sex... But I had to inject myself with so many antibiotics and steroids to minimize infections.
Right.
And you're like, okay, let's do it.
Right. And as Shepard, you're just like, all right, hey, thanks a lot. Let's get to it.
Yeah, no shit.
There's no pause. He's like, I appreciate everything you're doing, and this means a lot to me. He's like, yeah, that's great. Gets his clothes off.
Just pops her mask off. And what's worse is it cock teases you because you don't get to see what she looks like until the third game. And then it's just a Photoshop picture of someone on Facebook or something.
Yeah, it's silly. I don't know. The Geth in general, though, just as a race, they're one of my favorites because you also get to flesh them out. And by the third game, you at least get to, if your Paragon or Renegade status is high enough, you can in essence decide their future.
Yes. You get to do that with most races. You get to decide whether or not the Krogans... See, the Krogans, they are, because they're too dangerous and they live too long, they had to enact what's called the genophage, which it erases their ability to have children.
Yeah, they made them sterile on purpose.
Because
they also breed like rabbits.
Yeah.
Just what you need, a warrior race that lives forever, that likes to fight, just popping babies out one after another.
And you get to decide in the third game whether or not to redact the genophage, because... Someone decides or figures out how to do that.
And then, if you do or don't, then you get the chance to lie to them and tell them you did or didn't.
I love it. I did not know that part, or I forgot anyway.
Storytelling like that, it just, that whole universe exists. It's real.
Yes.
To an extent in my mind. I don't go to sleep thinking like, oh, gee, I sure hope the Reapers never come. I'm not like that. It's just,
it lingers.
Yeah, it's so fleshed out.
Yes.
And there's thousands of years of history for each race decided, even lifespans. The Silurians, they're like amphibian types.
Mm-hmm.
They only live for about 40 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Because their metabolism, they sleep about an hour a night, and their metabolism is in extreme overload.
They talk obnoxiously fast, and they will sing Gilbert and Sullivan to you anytime you want them to.
Yes, with their own lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a British tar anymore. It's a Solarian scientist or something like that. I never did like Morden. I was happy when he died.
I like Morden. That's spoiler alert.
Well, that's the thing. You pick your spoilers in this game.
Right.
You determine who does and doesn't die.
And then you meet characters that also, like you say, challenge that whole dynamic of the race, like Legion. Legion is a Geth. So he's a robot body, but he has over 1,000 Geth programs in him. So by having a small hive mind inside of his body, his intelligence exceeds that of a Geth robot with one Geth program in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he chooses to fight for you. He hunts you down in the game and wants to join your team.
And what I love about it is he's even wearing a piece of your armor that you lost from the first game.
And when you question him about it, he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
He has no answer.
Yes.
because he has a sentience that the other Geth don't.
Mm-hmm.
So why he chose that, he can't answer for you, because he's an AI, and he's a full sentient living machine. But the more of them that come together, he calls it a consensus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting too deep into it.
I think we've talked about Mass Effect long enough anyway. But yeah. Suffice to say, we love Mass Effect. It's a character. We love it.
Although 3 is great.
You're dead to me.
You and I are enemies now.
Okay, well, this is doing the exact same thing, but let's get into Halo now. Because you and I both picked Master Chief really high up.
Yeah. It wasn't a challenge.
No, it wasn't. Most first-person shooters, we were struggling to find a good character. Like, who's someone we can really relate to? Well, Duke Nukem, he's funny and all this.
I mean, I don't relate to John, but I mean, as the character, I'm into him. I like his history. I like the backstory. Mm-hmm. I like that universe. The Halo universe is exceedingly well fleshed out.
Yeah, better than most universes, for sure. It's almost as high as Star Wars, as far as quality is concerned.
Even Star Wars gets convoluted, though, because...
Well, with that many people working on it.
Right, you have so many writers over the years, mm-hmm. and then that becomes canon, and then... But that's extended universe, so it's not canon, and then someone comes in and says, well, that's Legends now, and...
Kathleen Kennedy. We have words. But, yeah, Master Chief has stayed consistently good up until Halo 4 or 5, or take your pick with those. Okay, we'll cut it off at Halo 3. How's that? Because nobody can say Halo 3 is bad.
For now, for the purpose of this discussion.
Yeah, for this
bit. We'll take 1, 2, and 3. Because, to an extent, those are their own story. That's a story start to finish. 1 through yes. 3. They could have ended at 3 on a high note. They didn't. I mean, mm-hmm. I know, of course, money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm happy to see the franchise live on, and I get more story and more action and more playthrough.
Yeah, I just get closure for that... baby crying tears, man tears ending of Halo 3. I cried at the end of Halo 3. I'm like, that's all I get? I was very upset about it.
But it's a great ending.
It is. No, it's fantastic.
You can't argue that.
It made my 15-year-old self cry or whatever. I don't know how old I was.
I love the ship design.
Oh.
I'm hardcore into spaceships.
That was...
Sci-fi, real, doesn't matter.
Was that the Forward Unto Dawn?
Yes.
Forward Unto Dawn was a badass ship.
Because the one in Part 2 was called In Amber Clad.
And the first one's the Pillar of Autumn. God, Halo ship names are just fucking cool.
They take, you know, in Halo Wars, which is the real-time strategy one. I know you know what it is because you love it. The name of that ship is called the Spirit of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
They just have awesome fucking names. Midlothian, Heart of the Midlothian.
Yeah.
Is a ship name.
Who even knows what the hell that is, but it's so cool sounding.
And the Covenant have amazing names.
Yeah, Truth and Reconciliation is the first one you really know about.
Right. They have a ship called the Magnificent Oliphant or something.
That sounds familiar.
Their main capital city is called High Charity,
mm-hmm.
and they're not a charitable
race
at all. I think that's hilarious.
I mean, getting back to it, but yes, just the lore of Halo is fantastic.
Well, that pissed me off in fucking Halo Reach real quick, because... Oh. Out of nowhere, they have all these cool ship names, and they're like, the Savannah. Did you guys get lazy on the ship naming?
Right.
You literally took a part of your lore that I love, and you just wiped your ass with it, and you're like, Savannah, whatever, moving on. You know, are we at real ship names now? I'm surprised they didn't call it the Ronald Reagan, or the George W. Bush, or the Scimitar.
All right, now we're getting a little off topic here. No, we're not. Not one bit.
It just... ships, ship names, lore, that shit gets me every time. And the ship names from Reach just piss me off.
Even the fact that the Spartan 3s aren't supposed to be around yet, but that's all you play as in Halo Reach?
Yeah. No comment.
I caught you with your pants down, didn't I? Oh, shout-outs to Noble Six, by the way. He's what Master Chief was probably supposed to be. He's characterless, but you know he's the ultimate badass, and you are treated as such. He's one of the few characters who... You are the character.
Right. Noble Six...
People know you are a badass, so
right.
They treat you as a badass.
Noble Six is the one you play in Halo Reach.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't specify that.
That's fine. There's a part in that game where they're talking about, did you read his file? They're talking mm-hmm. about you. And Kat, one of the Spartans, she's like, only the parts that weren't covered in black ink.
Uh-huh.
All the shit that was redacted.
Yes. That's how big of a badass you are, is that you are the most heavily censored file in the UNSC.
Besides the Spartan 2, mm-hmm. even the Spartan 3s are like, give him a wide berth, would you?
Yeah. He's like, all right, we don't do that lone wolf stuff around here. I read your file, even the parts I wasn't supposed to. No going off and doing your own thing.
And then the last level's called Lone Wolf.
Yes. Yeah, he even says no lone wolfing, and bam, last level's Lone Wolf.
But anyway.
Best level of Halo, too.
Halo Reach is fucking great, too, but we're talking about 1, 2, and 3, sorry.
It counts. It doesn't count, but it counts.
Well, at the end, it does have Pillar of Autumn, which takes you into part one.
And Master Chief is technically in the game if you move your camera to the right a little bit.
Just for a second. He's all nap time.
I absolutely... Especially Cortana. It's the relationship between Chief and Cortana that makes this combo so good. It's like the same thing with Samus and Ridley, except they're not killing each other.
It's not really a love story.
It's almost like deeper than love, not to sound poetic or whatever.
Well, the family.
Yeah, basically.
Deeper than family. I don't know.
She is what Guinan was to Picard.
Could she... What if it's a motherly figure? What if Cortana is more of a mother figure than something else?
It could be, because of Halsey and all that.
Possibly. We're getting way into it, sorry.
Hey, we're discussing characters here. It's all good.
That's just... I don't know, I never thought about that. Because he'll do... I mean, he'll do anything for Cortana.
Mm-hmm.
And Cortana will do anything to protect Chief.
It's never really hinted at what their relationship is. It's almost romantic, but they never go close to that.
Well, she's a fucking AI.
She has a hot bod.
In pixels.
She's in his head. You don't know what she does to his suit.
In photons.
She she rebuilds a suit.
I rewrote your system's firmware while you were asleep for 4 years.
I was hoping you were going to do that in a Kermit the Frog voice the whole time.
You will bow before me, son of God. That was from American Dad.
Love it. Love Master Chief. And on to a slightly more recent note, I love Doom Guy. I was just going to put Doom Guy and not the Doom Slayer because supposedly they're different. I don't see it that way, but whatever. I'm just going to group them together. In my headcanon, Doom 1 and 2 happened, and then Doom 64 happens, and then he decides, fuck it, I'm going to stay in hell and make sure nobody ever gets out, and then bam, the future happens. Now he's the Doom Slayer.
Who would win in a fight between Doom Guy and Boba Fett? Do 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 do
do do do do do. Doom Guy or Doom Slayer? Do 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 do
do do. I'm done. You didn't answer fast enough.
Depends. Is there a giant toothy hole lying around somewhere?
Can you look around? Can you form some sort of rudimentary lathe?
There's nothing but rocks, guy.
Garignac, 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 Garignac. All right, I got off topic again. No, I do that very easily.
Tim Allen's a great character. but no.
He's like Tom Cruise. Every movie that Tom Cruise is in, it shouldn't be the character name. It's
just Tom Cruise. It's Tom Cruise. Especially the new Mummy that just came out. It's the same way with Samuel L. Jackson a lot of times, too. Anyway, that's pretty much it for my list. Do you have anything else?
No, for now. Once again, I mean, it seems like every podcast we do, we could fucking talk for 9 hours about characters, plots. We got off sidetrack. I just really enjoyed talking about the things, and I got too in-depth. Well,
and you and I just have we're just good at it. Okay.
Yeah,
wasting
time.
We're good
at
it to ourselves.
Yeah, right. We're really good at wasting time.
But anyway.
Anyway, so thanks for listening. This has been Forrest's Fluffy Funhouse.
And that's F-U-N-H-A-U-S, not H-O-U-S-E. Yeah, I'm going to put Venom Snake as my last choice because I like Venom Snake from Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain.
Thanks.
The end. He's like the Phantom Ganon, Sinistar, Idol. I'm just spouting things now. I'm done.
You're ranting.
You're done.
You're doing. I like the blonde guy from Contra.
Yeah, Lance. That's his name. Get it right.
Fuck you for knowing that.
Oh, don't forget about Bill, the Native American sometimes.
Anyway, this has been Josh and Forrest with Gamer DA. Gamer discretion advised. What are your favorite characters? I want to know. I'm not asking you, Forrest. You already told me some of yours.
I'm going to tell you anyway. I like the boss. Sinistar is cool.
Let us know. Tell me your favorite characters. I want to hear your favorite characters. Maybe even characters you can't stand. Maybe there's a character that's been in the game that appeared in the first 5 minutes and you were like, nope.
Like Tim Allen.
And just never played it ever again. You can get us on Twitter at GamerDA1. We're on Facebook, Gamer Discretion Advised. tell us everything, your deepest, darkest secrets, so we can hold them ransom for cash.
We'll do it, too. Don't think we won't.